Welcome. Today we're asking a focused question. Can large language models iteratively refine themselves to produce accurate, structured regulatory rules from dense legal text? That matters because if it works, compliance teams could turn pages of regulation into machine-readable rules for audits, faster product approvals, or automated checks. For example, extracting product safety requirements from a long safety regulation so engineers know which tests to run. The paper we're discussing is De Jure, Iterative LLM Self-Refinement for Structured Extraction of Regulatory Rules. Jamie Mark, quick preview. Jamie, you'll walk us through how this iterative loop actually works. Mark, you'll critique whether it's practical to run in production. Two guiding questions for the episode. What exactly is iterative self-refinement, and is it practical for production systems?
Short answer on the first. Iterative self-refinement is an LLM-driven loop where the model produces an initial structured extraction, critiques or detects errors in that output, and then regenerates or merges outputs under schema constraints until it stabilizes. Think of it like sculpting. You start with a rough block, chip away inconsistencies, smooth the edges, and repeat until the statute-like rule is readable and structured. In this paper, they combine few-shot prompting, automated self-critique steps, and explicit schema enforcement to produce rule tuples rather than free text. I'll unpack the prompts, examples, and evaluation setup in the next segment.
That sculpting analogy is useful, but my immediate practical question, which maps to your second guiding question, is cost and reliability. Iterations mean more model calls, higher latency and compute, and potential for error propagation if the critique step is noisy. From a production perspective, I'll be looking at how outputs are versioned, how provenance is captured, and whether a human in the loop is required to accept changes. I'll ask for the thresholds where this becomes cheaper or faster than manual review.
Great setup. Jamie, before we dive deeper later, give us one clear line. What does De Jure claim it can improve compared to single-pass extraction? And Mark, after that, say what evidence or guarantees would convince you to try it in a live compliance pipeline?
In one line, De Jure argues that iterative self-refinement materially improves structured extraction precision and completeness versus single-pass prompting or standard IE pipelines by using self-critique and schema-guided merging. They back that with dataset experiments comparing baselines on extraction metrics. I'll show the numbers and examples in the next segment.
Mark, to test it in production, I'd need reproducible results across documents, clear provenance for every extracted rule, bounded latency or batching strategies, and a simple human review workflow with audit logs. If the method can show consistent gains on held out regulations and provide explainable intermediate steps, I'd be willing to pilot it.
Let's start with the landscape. Prior work on rule extraction tended to fall into three camps. Rule-based parsers that rely on handcrafted patterns, information extraction pipelines trained on labeled data, and single-pass LLM prompting that outputs free-form or semi-structured rules. Each has trade-offs. Rule-based systems are precise but brittle, supervised IE needs lots of labeled rules, and single-pass LLMs can be fluent but misstructure or omit parts of a rule.
Quick clarification. When you say misstructure, you mean the model writes the rule in prose rather than producing a machine-readable tuple like condition, obligation, and scope.
Exactly. De Jure targets that gap. The core idea is an iterative self-refinement loop. The model first produces an initial extraction conforming to a target schema, think JSON with fields like trigger, requirement, threshold, scope. Then a self-critique step analyzes that output for missing fields, contradictions, or format violations. Based on that critique, the model regenerates targeted portions or merges multiple candidate extractions until the output stabilizes and passes schema checks.
So it's not just repeating the same prompt, it's a directed repair process. Can you give a concrete analogy or example so listeners can picture it?
Sure. Imagine sculpting a statue from a rough block. The first pass chips away obvious shapes. You get a rough rule. The critique step is like stepping back, spotting that the arm is missing or the proportions are off, and then you focus on reworking those specific parts rather than recarving the whole block. Practically, De Jure might detect that the scope field is empty and ask the model to fill in only that field with evidence from the source text.
From an engineering angle that raises red flags, More steps mean more model calls and higher latency. How do they handle iteration costs and avoid infinite loops or error amplification if the critique is noisy?
They use a couple of tactics. First, they cap iterations. In experiments, most gains happen within 2 or 3 cycles. Second, they run a merge step where multiple candidate extractions are combined and reconciled using simple rules. Prefer non-null fields, use confidence scoring, or apply a schema consistency check. For stopping, they detect convergence. If the merged output equals the previous iteration or passes a schema validator, they stop. That reduces both latency and risk of runaway changes.
Can you explain the prompting strategy? Are they doing chain of thought style critiques, few shot examples, or some other trick?
They rely on few shot examples in the initial extraction prompt to show the schema and examples of correct extractions. The critique prompt is targeted. It asks the model to list omissions, contradictions, and evidence spans from the source text. They avoid revealing chain of thought in final outputs for auditability, but internally, the critique uses structured questions. Is any required field missing? Which textual span supports each field? That makes the critique actionable for the regeneration step.
Okay, that makes sense. What about evaluation, datasets, and metrics? Do they compare against hand-labeled ground truth and standard baselines?
Yes, they evaluate on regulatory corpora with human-annotated rule tuples. Metrics include precision, recall, F1 at the field level, and exact match for full tuples. Baselines are single-pass prompting, supervised IE models trained on the same labels, and a rule-based extractor. DeJure typically improves F1 and recall compared to single-pass prompting and narrows the gap with supervised IE, often exceeding rule-based systems on coverage.
Summarizing so far, DeJure uses an initial schema-guided extraction, a structured self-critique that points out specific errors or omissions, then targeted regeneration and merging with convergence checks. It relies on few-shot examples and evaluates with field-level metrics against annotated corpora. Jamie, what's the single most surprising experimental finding from the paper?
2 surprises. First, a small number of iterations, often just 2, captured most of the improvement. You don't need long loops. Second, the self-critique primarily improved recall by finding omissions rather than correcting hallucinations. In other words, the loop helped the model discover missing rule elements in dense text more than it fixed fabricated claims, which suggests the critique step is especially good at spotting overlooked evidence.
That last point is interesting. If iterations mainly recover omissions, it changes how we think about deployment. We could prioritize recall-sensitive use cases first, like flagging candidate rules for human review, and keep stricter pipelines for enforcement. Also, from a verifiability standpoint, storing the critique logs and evidence spans gives auditors a trail to understand why a field was added.
Exactly. The paper emphasizes provenance. Every generated field is tied back to a textual span and the critique that led to its inclusion. That traceability is crucial for regulated workflows and for asking humans to validate only the changed parts rather than the whole document.
Okay, let's pivot to real-world implications. How would DeJure-style iterative extraction actually change compliance workflows, and what trade-offs should teams expect?
From an engineering standpoint, the big deployment patterns are human-in-the-loop verification, strong audit trails, and clear provenance. You want a pipeline that surfaces candidate rule tuples with links to the exact source spans, stores critique logs, and requires human sign-off before any enforcement action.
And on the risk side, we need to call out failure modes. Hallucination, where models invent constraints, jurisdictional ambiguity, where a rule applies differently across regions, and cascading errors if a bad field propagates through downstream checks. Those are real barriers to legal acceptance.
Cost versus benefit varies by industry. In finance or healthcare, the upside is huge, faster audits and fewer missed obligations, but the tolerance for error is near zero. Manufacturing or internal security work might tolerate more automation earlier. The business case needs to factor model call costs, review time saved, and compliance risk reduction.
Mark, what engineering mitigations would you build to make pilots safe and observable?
Start with validation layers. A lightweight rules engine to check extracted fields against known invariants, plus unit tests for extraction logic. Add incremental rollouts per regulation subset, caching and model selection to lower cost, and conservative acceptance thresholds so only high confidence changes move to enforcement. Crucially, keep audit logs and easy rollbacks for rule versions.
From a research angle, priorities are adversarial robustness. Can the system resist misleading or obfuscated regulatory text? And formal verification where possible, e.g., translating extracted tuples into logic that can be checked against regulatory models. Also, domain adaptation and continual learning are key. Regulations change, so models must update without catastrophic forgetting. Active learning with human feedback can close the loop.
How do you convince skeptical legal teams? What evidence, metrics, or workflows make this acceptable?
You need traceable evidence. Every field tied to a text span and a critique justification, field-level precision recall metrics, and examples showing no worst-case hallucinations. Present pilots where humans validate only the deltas the model proposes. That lowers review effort and builds trust. Also, provide the legal team with the original passages, the extracted tuple, and the critique log for each change.
Tooling matters. A diff view for rule versions, dashboards for extraction confidence and drift, and alerts when the model starts producing low evidence fields. Automate unit tests for new rules so changes fail fast, and set SLOs for extraction latency and correctness. Those operational controls make pilots safe and measurable.
So, who should try this now and who should wait?
Try now. Teams with labeled corpora, a small scope of regulations, and dedicated legal reviewers who can validate outputs. Particularly useful where recall is prioritized, surfacing candidate obligations for review. Wait if your content is extremely high risk, highly adversarial, or you lack any ground truth labels and reviewers.
Add to that, pilot in narrow domains where rules are relatively stable and structured, product safety, certain compliance checklists, and use batching and caching to control cost. If you can measure time saved per reviewed document and keep an audit trail, you'll get buy-in faster.
Quick synthesis. DeJure gives a practical path to better recall and structured outputs via a short iterative loop, but it needs engineering controls and legal workflows to be safe in production. Final thought, automation should augment legal expertise, not replace it. To finish, a quick reminder. The podcast is available on Spotify. Search for Ship It with AI. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.